Hey everybody, welcome back to episode 21 of podcast Lost in Space. We've got a full house. I mean, we're down Alyssa, but we're up a guest, so we've got a full house again. It's been a little while since we've seen some of these people. So I guess we'll let everybody get in their introductions, starting with our guest. Cora, who are you? What do you do? What should the internet know about you?
Hello, my name is Cora Walker. I work for the University of Washington's Digital Future Lab, which is a media and production and research lab on campus. I'm also an editor for Nine Star Press.
There we go. Doc, reintroduce yourself.
Yes, I am Doc. I am the president of the Seahawk Liberators, which is an organization that believes the Seattle Seahawk is an actual Seahawk that has been mutated to be a dancing performer for our entertainment, and we intend to liberate him and eat him the way God intended.
Hey, he's back.
Newman. I missed you.
I am Ryan, and yeah. I ran out of stuff to say about myself. Apparently all our viewers are goldfish. If you're gone for more than a week, they forget about you.
You've been gone for a while.
Yeah.
I've been gone. Oh, I guess it's been 2 weeks. That's fair.
Yeah. Seneca.
Hi. I'm the person that's here all the time. I'm also apparently the person that either needs a whip, a squeaky... I like the squeaky hammer idea a lot better because I'm the person... I heard the cats. I'm Alexander, second in command here, and then I do a lot of stuff in my actual life outside of this, too, that I don't feel like listing off right now.
I'm Alexander. All of this stuff is my idea, and that means I get to make Seneca do a lot of the hard work for me.
Which means that I then give it back to him.
Uh-huh. And she slowly wants to kill me.
And I was given permission to just talk to my friends for hours and then post it on the internet. That's the power that you've given me.
Basically.
And it's worked to your detriment ever since.
Yeah. Welcome. It's actually kind of weird to have five of us again when we've had, like, podcasts of three for the last few weeks. We didn't manage to actually give Cora any heads up about how this whole thing is done, so she gets to watch by learning.
Wait, is there a process to this?
Yeah. There is some process to our madness, actually.
Doc, how have you been? How have your weeks been? And where have you been?
Same old, same old. I actually find this part where we talk about our weeks pretty arbitrary and forced, so I'm just going to say it was good, and I had fun stuff to do. Move on to the next person. Boom! Changing the form! Take that, Alex, you fucking dictator.
We'll just see what happens to the next episode of Podcast Lost in Game.
Oh, it's, yeah. Okay, maybe I should ease up a little bit.
Newman, what have you been up to?
Yeah, I went to Vegas 2 weeks ago. Busy last weekend with sports. Yeah. Nothing too exciting in the life of nothing.
That's so about what it is.
It sounds so sad.
Seneca, how about you?
Okay, so I actually have a lot of updates, so I'll give you some time, Cora. But so, as people I'm sure know, if anybody's actually been paying attention to my weekly updates, I'm getting ready for PhD interviews, and I bought not one, but two suits!
Ooh.
So I'm officially a big kid, which I'm excited about. I don't remember if I noted this in the last podcast or not.
Look at the goody two suits over here.
Well, for these PhD programs, you kind of have to, and one of them is in the South, so, yeah. But I've also I've reacquainted with a classmate friend, and we're now becoming really close because we're both kind of going through the same thing with the interviews, so that's been really great, and it's also been a really great way to do self-care personally, because I have somebody else to be like, what if this happens in the interview, who also is going through this entire thing. Also, because one of these programs is far, far away, I've been adjusting my sleep schedule, so I am considerably sleep-deprived right now, because no matter when I go to bed, I'm waking up between 5 and 6 a.m. every day.
Why? Oh,
no. So I was asked to go to a party last night for a friend's 22nd birthday, and for their another person is officially an American citizen party, and I went... And I may have gone to bed around, 2:30 a.m. and still gotten up at 6. So I am
Why?
Death incarnate. But something that I thought that Doc would appreciate, potentially his significant other based on previous comments, the friend who was turning 22 is one of the people who considers me to be adorable despite my very firm belief that I'm not. We had helium balloons, so as his impromptu birthday present, I went all out cutesy for him just to see how much squee factor I could get. And his favorite thing was, I like turtles with helium. And I would just walk up to him with the helium and just go, like, lean in and be like, I like turtles. And then just walk away. So, yeah. I've had a pretty good week. I'm just really sleep deprived right now. So.
I guarantee you, if you do the helium thing and then say, I like turtles, and put it on the internet, and it's just 3 seconds of that, instant viral video.
There's
I know
Instagram.
A lot of people, you can't craft a viral video, but I honestly think that's one that you can
actually
craft.
So a couple of the girls at the party that I didn't know were like, so are you an actress, or like, do you have like a famous YouTube channel? And I'm just sitting there going, no.
Have a famous outlet known as Podcast Lost.
Well, okay, I know that we are hit people
amongst ourselves.
I noted the fact that I'm on a podcast and all that stuff, but I was like, I have an Instagram that's new. Should I do a video? And they're like, yes.
See, that's
you need to.
I like that. So. Should have been an Instagram video.
Okay.
Come
well,
on, Seneca. This is your chance to get millions and millions of followers on the internet.
And Instagram videos go viral.
I think so.
I've never like seen if something's like, you have to see this Instagram post. It's more of like, check out this video, or it's always check out this video.
I know there's a bunch of famous cosplayers that you have to follow their Instagram feed because they do cool things with makeup or they do cool costume designs and stuff. Instagram, yeah, see?
Carl, feel free to talk over any of us at any point.
Please. Yeah. No, that's literally why I had an Instagram. I just wasn't using it for my own.
Yeah, you were using it to intake and consume pop culture as opposed to, you know, dispensing your own.
That's why I made my Twitter account. I made my Twitter account to follow Adam Sessler when he left G4.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started actually just kind of using it.
Mm-hmm. We are really dating ourselves now.
We're old or young, depending on how you look at it.
I know, that was a sad realization I had when I was thinking about the latest Jurassic World movie.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was like, this is really just a movie that's not made for me anymore. It's made for people younger. It's just, I'm just too old for this.
The way that I said happy birthday to my friend was, you're 22, only 3 years until your cells stop reproducing and you start dying! So.
Was it also with helium?
No, that was just like that.
Oh,
it should have been with helium.
Because, you know, Elsa, if you wanted to say that with helium.
If I did that with helium, with how naturally high-pitched my voice is, I think I would crack windows and maybe break people's souls a little.
Instagram videos. Come on.
I don't know.
Vines.
Yeah, or Vines.
Is Vines still a thing? Account.
Yeah, Vines are still a thing.
We'll see. Maybe.
So.
Cora.
But yeah,
okay.
So that was my week.
Obviously, it hasn't been a week for you since you were on. And we run into this every time we have a guest on, but kind of, how has your week been?
Anything fun happened?
Or anything fun in the last recent times?
It's been interesting. I'm doing a lot of different things, and this week was sort of an exercise in balancing all those things. So kind of trying to wrangle my ADHD brain into place, which is always thrilling. So basically, I am in school right now, so I'm doing an MFA. So if anyone here who has grad aspirations, I cringe in sympathy with you. And plus there's my university job, and I just started editing. Honestly, the most exciting thing that happened to me this week was a while ago I... So anyone who knows me knows that I've been obsessed with Assassin's Creed Syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it, and I actually wrote an article for a site called Remeshed making an argument for one of the two protagonists, Jacob Fry, being bisexual. There was a shitstorm on Tumblr, as there will be, and the official Assassin's Creed Tumblr actually weighed in and confirmed that he is bisexual. So, really, I am mentioning that just because I'll be mentioning it everywhere, and I will be gloating for, like, the next 50 years.
Nice.
And that's okay. That sounds gloat-worthy, personally.
Well done. Yeah. Calling it like it is. Making a statement.
Your guys' love with that series is one of the funniest things in the world for me.
It was never supposed to happen this way. It was always the, like, for years, it was the garbage series that I would come out once a year and I would have fun playing. Mm-hmm. But I would be like, huh, I never expect it to be any better than this. You know, like, I've always compared it to, like a rock star boyfriend who comes to town. And it's like, he's really hot, but you just don't want him to say anything. It looks like he's actually, like, got a job at a bank and a suit and has a cute sister. So it all works out.
See, I haven't played Assassin's Creed since, what, the fourth one? I just got kind of burnt out on it.
I'll give you a dollar if you can name the fourth one.
Black.
Well, hold on.
A dollar?
The actual fourth one.
It depends on what you mean.
Number four.
That's exactly what I wanted to bring up.
Revelations or Black Flag.
Yeah.
That's exactly the point I was trying to make. It's just so convoluted and monotonous.
Yeah, I think it's going to be like the Wheel of Time of video games eventually.
I thought that was Call of Duty.
It could also be Halo. It could be anything.
It could also be Halo.
That's true.
You are totally correct there.
I mean, we're obsessed with anything that's able to constantly be made, like, once a year. And, I don't know, we attach ourselves to these franchises, and there's certain people that just don't want anything else. They just solely want those franchises.
Because it's a constant fix. It's like the Pikmin series for me. Literally, my friend got me a Wii U, and the first thing I did, even though it came with a game, was, I need Pikmin 3 now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, for it.
Especially like
I'm also that way with Tomb Raider. Like anytime a new Tomb Raider comes out, I'm just sunk. I actually bought an Xbox One for that reason. I know that was exactly the gimmick, but I fell for that gimmick.
Yeah.
I had to make a choice and I didn't pick up the new Tomb Raider. I picked up XCOM 2 instead.
How is it?
Really good. I'm still getting the hang of the amount of information it throws at me that's different but yet similar to the old information from the original reboot. So there are things that happen where I'm like, that's crap. But I made all of my friends in XCOM, and so far the only one who died is Doc. He died on his first mission in the biggest single clusterfuck of an XCOM mission I have ever seen, in which I killed 41 aliens.
Did you go to all of us and just ask those random questions?
Yes.
You hope.
Actually, I didn't have to for a bunch of like my older friends, because I knew everybody's default Halo armor, and I knew what their default Halo nickname would be. So I didn't have to, and I had a lot of fun guessing and trying to remember and being like, I got it. And I was, I think, 4 and 5. I missed.
Okay, you didn't ask me any questions. What am I missing out on? Because I saw the picture, and when I tried to zoom in and read certain things, it just blurred out.
So Chrome or Google Hangouts has a compression issue, apparently. But that ties into. So XCOM 2 came out on Friday, not Tuesday like traditional games, which means I had to wait. I got sick Tuesday night, or I got sick Monday night with food poisoning. And I was, like, just flat laid out for most of Tuesday. I went to work because by the end of the day, I was like, I'm not actually, like, I can survive. I can go nanny. And I'm like, to the boys, I'm like, guys, I feel like crap. Don't make me have to get mad because that would make me sad. They were good kids about it. But I was like, if XCOM 2 had come out today, I would have called in sick to work justifiably, enjoyed my day. And I got mad about it on Twitter, and I, hashtagged XCOM 2, and the the community manager for XCOM is like, it lets us do a global release. I'm like, oh, right, that makes a lot of sense. Ignore me.
There is a much bigger world out there than just you. There was one person that was sick on Friday that was very thankful that it came out on Friday.
Exactly. but then Friday came around, and I had gotten a free ticket from a friend of mine who I met at the Enumclaw Highland Games with the Roman Legion I volunteer for, to a little convention down in SeaTac called Mythic Worlds. And I was like, cool, free day pass to this convention. It's still a few months to the next major conventions, to the next set of conventions. The convention season hasn't started. It's been a little while. I'll go try it out. Plus there's, a masquerade at night. And I'm a sucker for any masquerade, especially if it's a real masquerade ball. And not a, rock concert.
How many masquerades within a year do you usually go to?
One. I've only found one. If I can find more, I'll do them. So I went to that, and it was adorable. It's like, it's in a hotel. The vendor's hall is like one little ballroom. It's maybe a 500-person convention. And it's the single smallest convention I've ever been to, which was super interesting because, it's a lot of older folk. It was and because it's fairy-themed, you get a lot more of the hippie crowd, which is always kind of funny to be around. I'm used to them from the Ren Fairs and all the stuff I go to with the Legion, but it's always kind of a moment of, like, you're like, oh, right, you're a little odd. I just kind of killed time there for most of the day. It's like, I'm not going to spend my money. I paid $40 for a ticket for the masquerade, but I'm like, I'm not going to buy. I need to behave. Then I go to the hotel for dinner, the hotel restaurant for dinner, because I didn't want to go walk around SeaTac area with a sword on my hip. And I'm like, can I get the mac and cheese that's the $6 side, please? And she's like, yeah, okay. It comes in a huge plate. I get it. I eat it. I'm like, there's some meat in this. I wasn't expecting that. Turns out it was the $30 crab mac and cheese.
Jesus.
Oh,
And I'm like, right, well, I ate it all. They're really busy. This one lady's in charge of the entire restaurant part. I'm not really going to make a fight about it. My night got more expensive. And then I did the masquerade, and the masquerade wasn't a proper ball. It was a rock concert, but it was a lot of fun. And there was a really good... a little small, like, Celtic rock band, I think is their genre. And it was adorable, because at the end of their set, like, they were really, really good. And at the end of their set, they're like, hey, like us on Facebook, because if we can get enough likes, guys, we promise we'll make an album. And you're like, oh, precious. And also, I'm like, I want the album, because you're really good. And then their headliner for the event was a band called Abney Park, which is a steampunk rock band. Which was a lot of fun. But the funniest thing to come out of the whole night, other than getting to know some people and kind of as you get stuck in line, it's a convention. You get to know people at conventions.
Yeah.
There was a downtime between the Rogue's End, the little smaller band, and the headlining band, and I was sitting down for a sec. And I look over and I see this cute blonde kind of sitting there, shoulders slumped, doing the, awkward, kind of, look up, look back down, take a step, stop, take a step. And I was like, she looks really lonely. Like, and that's not fun. So, and I sat there and I was like, nah, she'll be, all right, fine. Go up and talk to her. I was like, go up and I'm like, are you okay, m'lady? Just because I get to be a dork when I get to go to these events.
Yeah.
Started talking to her. Age came up, and I was like, yeah, I'm 23. And she just laughs. And I'm like, what's the gap? She goes, 11 years. So I tried to pick up a 34-year-old, and it was working.
Oh.
You can do that.
Yeah, you can.
11 years is a bit of a gap.
And?
No, I mean, it was just kind of one of those things where she's like, oh, God,
you're a lot younger. Adults.
But
so when's the wedding?
It's not like you're 16 and she's 27.
Well, fair.
But it also sounds like he didn't have an issue with it. She was the one who was like, oh.
And it was funny because it was one of those things where I'm like, really? I would have said 26. Like, just on, you know, at the highest. Mm-hmm. I would have guessed, oh, 3 or 4 years older than me. No big deal.
Yeah.
But that was funny. And then I just danced, like, the whole night and had a lot of fun. Which is actually huge because I was, you know, I wasn't embarrassed about my dancing despite the fact that I can't dance for shit when it's not a ballroom. But that was my big thing this week.
Awesome.
Also, small conventions are just kind of adorable.
They are. They're so cute.
All right. Shall we get into our big, scary topic of the day?
Sure. Let's do it.
So, before we get into this, for those of you listening, well, and I guess for us here, I don't think we'll have a problem. We're going to be talking a lot about, we're going to be talking about religion and how it kind of, it's affected our lives and just in general how we feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to be calling out anybody. We're not going to be dumping on anything specific. But if that's the kind of thing, I know for a fact there's a good chunk of us here who are agnostic or atheist of some kind. In fact, I think all of us here are. And that's going to come into this conversation. So, listeners, be warned that this is going to be one of those topics that might or may not piss you off. Right.
Well, could I say right off the bat?
Before you go to the show, check out my movie, Mega Mormon, on YouTube now. It is an actual movie, actually, and I really want the views. You made it in high school? Please see it. I am desperate.
All right, Newman.
It's funny that you mentioned that we're all agnostic, and while I say I'm Jewish, but I don't really practice it anymore. I was born and raised Jewish, but I actually say I'm Jewish just because there's so few of us. We really need that one extra Jew in the world.
I don't really practice it anymore. I think it was fifth grade, and we gave you a Hawaiian pizza, and then you've come over for Christmas ham every year afterward.
Yeah, like I don't eat kosher. I never really have eaten kosher, but I went through the whole bar mitzvah confirmation thing, and then I went to college, and I'm like, I'm kind of done with religion. But mm-hmm. Judaism needs that one extra number in the world. Like, one's a big difference. So I'll keep my Jewish title.
Okay.
All right. Who wants to get a crack at this early?
Okay, well, I'll start. I think the right thing to do is kind of start by, like, what religion kind of means to us and how, like, what we view now and what we're kind of raised up being. Because a lot of people's current status of, like, where they are with religion is because they were brought up into it. Russia has a totally different view on God and the belief system is that they were raised with a specific religion that just dominates their country. And so for me, I know both my parents were raised Christian, and then when they, you know, had kids of their own, they didn't really force any religion on us. They did Christianity and going to church every Sunday and doing all that for a little while, and then they're like, we're too busy. We'll let the kids do their own thing, talk with their friends, find out about religion on their own. If they want to believe something, we're not going to stop them, kind of thing. And so with that, I've always been very, you know, just go with the flow, do what you want to do, don't need to worry about religion, don't need to worry about stopping anything on Sundays, hence the podcast that we're doing now. And so I would definitely classify myself as agnostic because it's not that I need proof that there's something up there. It's just that it doesn't really matter. I just, for right now, if there is something that exists as another being above us, it's not affecting me in any way right now because I can just go and be nice to people and do what I need to do and what I think is right, and I'm doing it just because that's the way to be. It's just to be a nice person. That's the values I believe in. And if I were to And right now my belief is that if I were to die, nothing would have happened. But if I notice that the sky opens up in the apocalypse and there's giant archangels going around, I would be humble enough to go, oh, I was clearly wrong. This is obviously the work of a higher being. There's no science that would explain why giant demons with monkey faces and bird wings are just attacking everybody. So that's kind of my logic behind it. So.
Okay.
All right. Senny or Cora?
I have sort of an interesting relationship with religion. My parents were both raised different kinds of Christian. Mom, very WASPy, New England, but still somewhat liberal, progressive Christian. It was more of like a community thing for them, whereas my dad comes from... very conservative Christian background, although he himself is not conservative Christian, but his entire family is, which is interesting, because I am the gay cousin, or I'm the bisexual cousin. And so it's interesting for me because I grew up in a fairly a-religious household, but I also... realize the degree to which a Christian culture overall has impacted my life, and just certain metaphors that I have internalized and default to, even without really meaning to, even considering myself a fairly rational person or a fairly, you know, atheist, a-religious person, there are still... like, you're still brought up in the same society, and I'm sure some people are completely impervious to it. I've realized that I am not. And I think my relationship with religion at large has been very much defined by my queerness. And, because I think it's hard not to internalize a lot when, you know, there are people out there who, you know... think you're going to hell. And, you know, growing up that way, trying to question, you know, what that means and how, how to navigate that, basically. And for me, like, whether I believe it or not, like, you know, when I was, you know, 12, 15 and questioning, like, that still has a huge impact. And so it's interesting. So, like, I'm also, like, I've had really excellent, very tolerant religious friends also, and I know people for whom religion has been a wonderfully, like, good influence in their lives. Mm-hmm. I just know that for me, it has not. And that's where, you know, a lot of my, I guess, anxiety comes from with regards to it. So, like, just that moment where somebody... it's like, oh, I'm super religious. I'm like, how is this conversation going to go?
Big old warning light.
Yeah, exactly. And sometimes it works out fine, but then other times I'm certainly validated in my concerns.
Yeah. Yeah. Sunny?
Okay, so I've kind of been dreading this podcast a little bit. And I've been very blunt about my family situation on this podcast, and people will probably understand a little bit more so why now. So my parents both come from very religious backgrounds. My dad comes from a more Lutheran Christian background, which is more about essentially being a good person at the end of the day, really. That's what I was really raised with. Like, that was the one church that I continued to go to. And I still actually, like, I still see the youth advisor person there. Kathy, I love you. You're amazing. She's like my second mother. I love her to bits and pieces. But I was also the little shithead who was like, I don't believe in God. And if God is real, then why is he doing this stuff? And that's because my mom was diagnosed with paranoid schizophrenia. My mom relies on religion as an emotional crutch. So I have attended, as in I was actually like part of the community and then ripped away from it, at least 10 different churches in the area of the capital of Washington area. So I have a very unique relationship with religion for that reason. My mom also comes from a very intense religious family where, like, when I was little and I didn't want to go to church, I had frozen peas stuck against me until I got out of bed type of thing. Because you had to go to church, and I did not want to. I currently identify as agnostic / Lutheran, because I definitely feel a lot of the Lutheran values that I was taught of just essentially being a good person and not being an asshole for no reason have stuck. And I do believe that there is a higher power. I just don't know what, and I see a lot of similarities between a lot of religions, so I refuse to really say I'm part of this one, but I still partially identify as Lutheran because there is a lot of comfort from those rituals where if I'm having a really, really hard just month or year or whatever, I've literally found a Lutheran church in wherever I am at the time, and I'm like, I'm going to go to service. And it doesn't happen very often, but when I need to, it's something that I can do, and I have no qualms about doing it. But at the same time, I'm not a regular practicing person. Like, you know, Newman doesn't practice Judaism, but I still identify that way. So, yeah, I'll start with that for now.
Sounds good. All right. And then from my end, there's a really funny set of stories that come with me, even as a, like, me being baptized. The Catholic priest wouldn't come out because they wanted an outdoor baptism. I believe it was a Lutheran priest was too drunk to do the ceremony, so I was baptized by Baptist? I don't remember the difference. So, like,
baptized by a Baptist?
From the very start, there, you know, it seemed to not quite want to fit. But growing up, we would dabble in church. We would do the Sunday church thing a little bit. I got put in Catholic Sunday school, which, with a friend of mine, his mom in charge of it, and I got in trouble because I asked questions. I was already at that age a hyper-logical kid who wanted to know how that would make sense. So, like, Noah and the flood, I was like, why? You can't make a boat that big? No, that doesn't make sense. I mean, I'm talking, like, the carriers out there are only about 1,000 meters, you know, like, I knew things like that already. And so, like, even from that point, even at, like, 10 or 11, I was bouncing off religion kind of hard. And eventually, like, the family started going to a non-denominational church, and the reason I went was because they had donuts. But you couldn't get me to go to youth group because I didn't want to talk to other people who wanted to talk about religion. I went for the donuts and the music, and that was the only reason I was going to go. And then I ran into a really and then my parents were like, look, your girlfriend will come with us. It's like the one time of the week you're guaranteed to see your girlfriend in middle school.
Mm-hmm.
So I started going for that reason. But again, I sat in the corner. I wish I had a version of it. I would doodle and I would like draw, map out like battles and like path, like battle stretch, you know, like orders and like kind of do this kind of stuff as a way to entertain myself in the church because I didn't want to hear about any of the stuff that the pastor was talking about. But then I ran into an interesting thing where neither my parents or the fam or my like grandparents are particularly religious. They're Christian of some flavor, but not anything, you know, like we did church because mom was like, that's kind of what you do with a family.
Mm-hmm.
And dad didn't really care to go and, you know, but when I was telling mom, like, I'm not Christian. I'm very explicitly, I do not identify with that specific mythology. I had a really interesting time fighting with my mom about it, where she's like, but you're a good person, and that makes you a Christian. You know, you were raised with proper good values, and that makes you, that means you're a Christian. You were baptized, that means you're a Christian. And this is in high school. And I'm having these fights with my mom, which were not pretty. She has since realized, come out of it and been like, oh no, I was wrong. But, that was, I guess, the really interesting point that will hit, when I was like, no, I'm agnostic, and I did the research, and I'm like, I'm not an atheist because I believe in something. I'm also a writer of fantasy and sci-fi. I don't really have a choice because I still like to think that the shadows hold, fae and all that kind of stuff. But yet, having that back and forth with my mom was really not fun because it was one of those things where I'm like, you don't understand. You don't have to be Christian to be a good person. That has nothing to do with being a good person.
It doesn't. It really, really doesn't. I'm sorry. I know your mom watches this, but...
No, and like I said, she's since realized that was obviously wrong. Well,
I'm sure you saw my face of just sitting here and going, I highly disagree. I highly disagree.
And then, in high school, in the end, I'm actually more of a polytheist. Just those are more interesting hypotheses.
That's a theologian that believes in Paul Simon, right? A polytheist?
Yeah, exactly. No, I tend to believe
that... Every Sunday you're listening to the song You Can Call Me Al.
Exactly. No, I tend to believe in multiple gods as a thing. I'm not... I know a lot of people who are starting to pick up the Old Norse religion.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, partially because, I go to Ren fairs and fairy conventions, and, so I'm going to mix with a group of people who would pick up... I don't pick up with the Old Norse religion, but I tend to, appreciate the Greek gods a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Athena's pretty rad.
Yeah, I just don't...
Dionysus, my man!
I don't want to mess with Zeus. I don't want to... I don't remember what book it is. There's just the old proverb of, nobody wants the attention of the gods.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, no, you want... what you want is the gods to be content, but not happy with you or mad at you.
You just don't want them to think about
content.
You.
Yeah.
And that's where I kind of wanted to bring up how I how religion, organized religion is something that's actually outdated, out of the fact that it was something specifically designed for the society at the time, and the fact that they were setting rules and guidelines where it's like, in order to survive this world that we cannot control, we need to have these set rules and set all this. And that's where... the idea of, masturbation being evil or homosexuality, it could have been because, they had lower populations. And it's like, if you don't find a way to propagate more children or do all this or advance our species and build the civilization, make more helpers for the farms.
That's actually...
More people. Yeah, we're going to fall apart and going to die, so we need to put rules in place that says, you can't do this, this is bad. And then people probably kept on doing it. They're like... Well, it's what we want to do. It's like, oh no, it's not bad, it's evil. You're going to go to a bad place now because you're doing these things that are wrong, which then kind of goes into the Catholic guilt where it's like, you need to do all these things that are right in order to not go to hell, rather than, and I've met people who are Catholic where it's like, yeah, that's how the Catholic guilt gets in, but there's a lot of people that believe that you got to do the things that are right just because that's how it is to be a good person and do all this. And you do it for the sake of being good, and hell is a punishment, but you got to kind of put that aside. And then, but when it comes to homosexuality and masturbation, as soon as our society started building up and it got to the point where it's like, yeah, we have plenty of people. These are things that are totally okay now. We don't need to worry about the population anymore. They were so focused. It's like, no, we wrote this in a book. And the book says we can't change it. We already took the time to. There's so many copies.
Because edits.
People have read this. It's not the internet. We can't change it, and then everyone who now rereads it is—it's now changed. No, it's out there for everybody. We can't change it. So now we got to continue to believe that all these things that are totally natural are evil.
It's like with the whole gun debate is to bring that in very temporarily. I've heard the argument of, oh, it's written in our Constitution, therefore it must always be true. I'm like, it was written as an amendment.
Yeah,
something that can't. It was changed in there. It could be changed out of there. We've done that before.
That same amendment says we have the right to a militia, which no one really needs a militia anymore. We have a very strong.
I need a militia.
Exactly. How many people does it take to be in a militia? Do you guys want to do the podcast Lost in Space militia?
Yes.
I heard all four of you.
I disagree on the idea that organized religion is outdated on the principle of organized anything that is organized, people organizing around a common belief set or group is not, it's what the internet is about. Mm-hmm. I mean, like Doctor Who fans, the true diehard fanatics are more or less essentially in a minor religion.
Well, see, no, that's just it. I'm not saying that the organization itself is outdated. I'm saying that, no, religion itself, like if there was a church where everyone said, yeah, the point of this is we're going to gather every Sunday, we're going to hang out, we're going to talk how cool it is to be nice to everybody, that kind of stuff is great. I'm saying a lot of the rules and aspects that they put in place, those are outdated because they were set for a different time. And now that we've evolved to the point where a lot of those rules and aspects don't matter anymore, they still cling to them because they're like, well, it's a part of this whole giant spectrum. We can't change it. It's already, like, it was in the Bible, I believe, I heard someone say that it is evil to eat, like, shellfish or, like, any sort of seafood. Like, there's it says it's evil in there, but they neglect it. They're just, nah, we're going to overlook that, but we're still going to hate gay people because that's an important one.
Mixed fibers. Literally, I would bet you money every ounce of clothing that I'm wearing right now is mixed fibers, so.
Well, any modern... Anything in the modern world is mixed.
No, not necessarily.
Almost okay, fine. But almost
so I actually is.
Shut down.
I have
100% cotton underwear, Alex.
I have a question for you guys, actually. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to have a nylon belt, by the way. There are such things as American makers with pure clothing.
Uh
huh. So questions about religious communities. A big thing that I've been hearing from a lot of my friends recently. Is if they don't have, like, a fan herd, shall we say, like the Whovians or the Potterheads, if they were... if they don't have a thing that they are very attached to and they grew up religious, they seem very confused on how to make friends in today's world.
Yes.
So I'm kind of throwing that out there because there's, like, the internet, there's all these things that we, you know, we can literally, I literally can have a friend in China. I actually do. And we speak, like, our primary languages are different. And we still email each other.
Yeah, we're a naturally kind of clan-based animal.
We are.
That's how like we are. Like
we are herd. Yeah. We are herd.
Cora, use your words.
Sorry.
Yes. Oh, no, I was just going to, weigh in on something that I think is kind of understated in social conflicts focused around religion. And I think a big part of it that people don't tend to think about is that there is nothing, I think, personally, like, inherent to the people or the community or even the religion that makes people oppressive or hateful towards other people. Like, a lot of that comes from, like someone else was saying earlier, old ideas, but I don't think people's gut reaction is to be hurtful towards other people, necessarily, in all settings. I think that there is almost always some economic galvanization for that, or there is some either you are poor and hungry and you want to and you cling to this thing because it allows you to lash out at somebody who is even worse off than you are. So I think that's part of it. And I feel like a lot of this is one of my issues with atheists, and something I've heard atheists of color talk about with regards to white atheist culture, and how something that can kind of get wrapped up in there, like especially when white atheists are talking about Muslims, there is, or Islam in general, there can be a really that can get racist really fast, let's just be honest. And it becomes about like, oh, there's just something about that religion that makes people hateful. There's just something about, people, those people that is hateful, and completely disregarding the history of Christian colonialism in that area and the severe economic imbalances that that whole region is still dealing with as a result of Christian European colonialism. So I think that's the other thing. It's like, it's not even about organized religion for me. I almost feel it's more about like really identifying where like this conflict is coming from or this need for conflict. And I feel like it's almost never about the religion.
Psychology thing, because I took way too many motivational classes. One of the kind of things that's still hardwired into it... Bless you. Sorry, and that's one of my hardwired things. But we're very visual creatures. We just are. And especially the less there is to go around, the more tense a situation is due to economics, food, mates, literally anything. The more likely we are to see something as different being bad. Mm-hmm. And that's also something to kind of keep in mind, because as we all become a lot closer in a lot of ways without necessarily always being physically closer, we find new ways to create those differences, because we are very like clan or herd based. Like, and I it's kind of weird to refer to people as animals, but we are. It is an ingrained thing. Like, I mean, even in television shows, when there's like brainwashing, they're like, oh god, they're doing herd behavior because it's a thing that we do.
Well, yeah, and that's where I've met some really good Christian people who because a lot of my instincts of like are a lot of things where it's like I've met some Christian people who like are staunchly against homosexuality and are very aggressive towards it, and it's to an uncomfortable degree. It's like I don't get. It's like your religion is supposed to be to love everybody and mm-hmm. do unto others as you would have them do unto you, and so I never understood how they could get so angry for people just having a different belief. But I've also met some great people that were like, yes, I am Christian, and yes, I know gay people, and yes, in my religion, it is known that gay people will go to hell because that is what I believe, but I don't hate them. That's just something that they have, and it's just what it is. And they don't look at it as a means to hate other people. They do... like see them as like, oh yeah, they're going to go to hell in another life, but I'm not going to be the one to change that. That is just something that they have to deal with. It's weird. I could be talking out my ass. There's at least people who recognize that just because someone is gay, they don't have to hate them.
Well, yeah. I mean, and that's going to be, generally speaking, the majority of people tend to be decent human beings. Mm-hmm. But I know
unless Cora you're on the internet.
I know Cora wants to get on this one. I can see it in her face.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's interesting because I think that is a softer variation of the same thing. I think saying, no, I don't hate you, but I just want you, you know, you're going to burn in hell. Like, I think that, like, that still, like, contributes to, like, you know, a very hurtful dialogue. I think that's a way of keeping your hands cleaner. Yeah. But I think it actually has the same results. And I guarantee you those people are not likely to be comfortable with, you know... Yeah.
Because they still recognize the you as...
I'm gonna pull this in a little bit. because we will literally, we can go all day about other people. Mm-hmm. Let's focus back on us.
Mm-hmm.
And my one of my big ones is I still haven't figured out how to properly deal with people being like, Alexander, do you want to lead Grace?
Oh, I love doing that. And, it's so much fun.
Or, you know, and things like, all right, let's everybody pray. And they look at me and I'm like, no, you're welcome to. I'm not going to, you know, you are welcome to do what you do. I am not going to participate.
Now, is there a reason that you're not participating?
It's not my faith. I don't pray to that god. I have no reason to go through those rituals.
Okay, so I'm at a dinner with other people. The other people are inviting me to partake in this. And they're like, oh, do you mind if we all say grace? And they asked, it's like, do you mind if we say grace before we eat? And I was like, no problem. You're treating me to dinner. This is a very nice thing. I'll hold your hands. I'll bow my head. I'm not going to... I'm doing it to be a part of you and show respect to what you believe. And in no way is this me praying to a god. It's me participating in their traditions.
I recuse myself from the circle instead.
Can I ask a question, Doc?
Yeah.
Do you say amen with them?
No.
Okay. Sorry. I come from a very religious family, and I actually also deal with this awkwardness because when I visit family, it's a big thing of like, family dinners, hey, Seneca, you're from out of town, do you want to lead Grace? And I'm always just the one who's like, you know, I don't really feel comfortable doing that. Mm-hmm. Why? And I usually actually pass it off to like my grandparents or like the head of the household because that's more comfortable. And yeah, like I actually got called out for it when I was little. At my great-grandmother's birthday party because they wanted me to leave Grace. And my great-grandma told everybody to essentially shut up and let the child be. So I'm the favorite, and it's awesome, but still.
And that's where...
go
ahead, Cora.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I actually... I understand that awkwardness and that discomfort. I will participate, you know, especially if I am at someone's house or... you know, what have you. I'm being invited to dinner. So, I mean, I do feel like that is a, like, that's a, like, respect thing that I can do and that I'm comfortable doing. I do always have that, like I said, that moment of panic, like,
this is
I'm
the big
communicating
warning
with
sign.
A higher being that may or may not like me. So I always have that, like, moment of anxiety, but no, for me, it is definitely more of a, like, a respect thing for, you know, these people who I'm invited into their house, and they are sharing a piece of their culture with me. So I'm cool with it, but I also totally get the stress.
Yeah.
Newman was going to say something.
Yeah, I was going to say, I actually experienced that at your house growing up.
Yeah.
You guys would say grace, and I was like, it's just a respect thing. Like, I learned growing up being, like, growing up Jewish, people would say Merry Christmas to me. It wasn't a thing that was said to, like, offend me. Like, I understand I'm a minority, and I just kind of grew up just being like, just be respectful. They don't mean any offense.
Mm-hmm.
I would just say, sometimes I would say, like, Happy Hanukkah back, and they'd put a smile on their face, or I'd just say, like, Happy Holidays. But, like, when I would go to your house, you guys would do it, I would just grab your hands, close my eyes. When you're done, I'd start eating. It's just more of a respect thing, and I know it wasn't.
No.
You guys weren't trying to offend me. Actually, happened at a couple friends growing up. It's like, you're not trying to offend me. It's just your thing. I'll just participate in your thing. Where I would get an issue with it is all of a sudden you just like threw a Bible at me, in my face and be like, here, get better. That's when I would have an issue with it. But like,
so mine roots in the fact that I had this fight with my mom. Basically everything that me and my mom have learned about each other comes in the form of a fight. We love each other, but
super healthy family.
If we're going to communicate with each other, it's going to be us just fighting with each other. It's just the way we are. And because I had it as a very real fight with my mom of screw you, I do not agree with any of this religion.
Mm-hmm.
I fundamentally disagree, and you are trying to continually force me into the religion. I do not want anything to do with it. is part of the reason. The other part of the reason is, as silly as it sounds, I am a very cautious person with the powers. Like, I don't understand faith, true real faith as a concept. For me, it doesn't make sense. But I'm a very firm believer in being very careful with magic words, magic circles. Like, things of actual magic and sacred things tend to come across as that kind of... And so it's the reason I pull myself out of... And I actually pull myself out of the grace is because I do not want even that... You know, I do not want that form of mad... Like, it sounds ridiculous to a modern... rational world, but I do not want to mess with that form of magic because it is explicitly something I do not agree with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still being thrown by how you refer to it as magic. It's as if, like, you participate in a grace and then the Pope just goes, well, somewhere a non-believer.
No,
it's attack.
You are offering yeah. emotional and spiritual energy to a higher power being.
Mm-hmm.
You are, like, it's explicitly a. It's not, yeah. You know, you're not trying to cast a spell or anything like that, but you are, in a way...
You're connecting yourself to it.
To something else, yeah. That's what all the rituals are. It's, you know, I don't cross myself when I walk into a church for obvious reasons, but I'm also very, very careful about entering a church or any sacred place without explicit permission. I do not like walking into a church.
And that's why I can't just say that I'm agnostic, because I do still participate.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's the version of the higher power that I'm most comfortable with. I don't know if that is the actual one, but or one of them or whatnot, but, you know, like...
And see, and that's just it, is I'm in the belief that the connection only exists if you allow it. In the fact that when I'm holding in my hands, I have to think and try and make that connection happen if I really want it to be. Otherwise, as I naturally do, I'm just holding hands, being respectful, being part of it. Mm-hmm. They're connecting. I'm just being included as they connect. I'm going to stay my own disjoint thing just because I don't really believe
it. I'm not a complete ass. Like, you know, if I'm like, no, and I kind of try to back out, and they're like, no, please, like, you know, I'll be like, okay, fine, but I won't bow my head. And it's not me being like, I'm too... It's just one of these things where it's just, I don't feel like making that obsessive... whatever, big word. That kind of... thing to a power that I do not believe in. And it's just a personal... But I won't be a dick about it.
So you think that God would be trying to connect to you even if you weren't trying to connect back?
Yeah, basically.
It sounds like you guys are
treating it like culture, which I kind of like to a certain degree. Even what Newman said about, like, happy... You know, like, Merry Christmas versus Happy Holidays. It's like, well, this is their, like, culture, and that's what they say. And that's, like, they're not trying to be mean, they're not trying to be, like, slanderous in some way, they're just, like, they're trying to be nice, but this is just how they do it. And, like, with bowing your head, or, like, just holding the hands and sitting there while words are spoken, you know, you're being respectful of the culture without becoming a portion or part of it.
Yeah.
And like I said, I do actually totally understand that discomfort. Like, I don't necessarily, like, I know, like, I know, capital K, that there's nothing going on there necessarily, or I don't, like, feel that there is. But I still definitely have that moment where, like Alexander said, I do feel like there might be, like, some... connection there, and I mean, if that's in my head or not, I still, like, react to it the same way, where I'm just like, hey, we cool? Like,
yeah. I was gonna say,
totally get that.
Yeah, is there something to be feared about this connection?
I don't like playing magics that aren't my own.
Because I know that I'm doing what I'm doing, and I'm doing what I feel is right, which is trying to be nice to people, having an open mind, and always just being respectful, and just being myself, trying not to hurt anybody, all that kind of stuff. So if a connection were to happen without me knowing, I wouldn't be worried about it, because if there is a problem with that higher being, and he feels like I'm doing a bad job, then... You know what? I don't want to be connected to you. I'm not going to try and connect to you. I'm going to continue to do my own thing. It's not something that I think it should be scary at all.
I have.
I think it's a little bit scarier when, like, there's a lot of
People with the hellfire phrases.
Yeah, when there's a lot of like smite being thrown around.
And I have a very, I don't, you know, like it, I don't want to mess around with magics and faiths that aren't my own, and I don't know what my own is. But I know for a fact that I don't want to mess with anybody else's because, you know, it's just one of those things. I don't play with, you know, fire because I know it's dangerous, and mm-hmm. it's that kind of thought process. You know, and that's not to say that I don't, like, I think all of us will say things, you know, like, God damn it, or bless you when somebody sneezes, and it's not, but for even when I say it, for me, it's not me think, like, you know.
But you even say gods all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah, and I have, in the last few years, over the last few years, I have worked really hard to replace any time I say God damn it with God's damn it. Mm-hmm. Or by the gods, or things like that.
You celebrate Christmas, Alex?
I do still, yes, but that okay. is not a... To me, it has stopped being... I also more or less attribute it to Yule. Mm-hmm. But to me, that's more of a cultural thing, because it is the culture I grew up in. You know, Christmas is still a thing. Mm-hmm. But I think of it more like Thanksgiving. Which is a non-religious.
Do you also
holiday.
Say goodbye to people?
Yeah, but because that doesn't matter anymore.
Because the origin of that word is like God be with
also,
you.
Also, I do say a lot of adios, which is a fairly similar origin. But yes, but that's the thing. That is English now. That mm-hmm. is goodbye doesn't mean anything. Damn it. Damn is specifically a swear word because you are cursing someone. Mm-hmm. Damn is a mild swear word now. It's barely a swear word these days because nobody believes you are actively damning someone.
See, is it bad that that makes me feel like hell, if hell is actually like a thing, is like losing power?
Yeah,
like it's weaker.
And that's the thing. It's like from that point of view, that exact same point of view. Cora, drop.
Oh, yeah. Jesus.
From that same point of view, it seems like grace and bowing your head and praying before a meal is the same concept, but it just didn't take off in the mainstream.
Mm-hmm. But that makes it specifically focused into the religious mainstream. It because I say the word goodbye, which linguistically came from that, but doesn't have anything to do with it in the modern world or in the last 100 years. Has anything to do with whatever, I don't remember.
So if grace was more modern and just...
Well, I do itadakimasu, and it literally translates to let's eat. But it's a way of saying thank you for the food, because I believe you say thank you for your food to whatever powers that be.
Yeah. Well, but also grace is a very specific thank you.
Yeah, but I specifically... I say a thank you to my food. That doesn't mean I'm saying thank you to your God for my food. I'm saying thank you to whatever power gave, you know.
But I'm also saying that at one point, goodbye and Christmas were specific connotations to
Christmas. And I'm saying they're not anymore.
But there's development.
You still
that's
celebrate
how English
them,
works. Huh. Yeah, no, and Christmas is one of the ones that I have a... bit of a hard time with, but I also don't celebrate Christmas in a religion. I celebrate Christmas because it is a good holiday time. I celebrate being with friends and family, and yes, Christmas Day, I still do things, because guess what? That's the day my family does things.
Mm-hmm.
It's a useful marker. It's also the last day of Yule, which is where the Christians stole Christmas from.
That's why we have trees!
They inverted the timeline. Yule is 12 days before and ends on Christmas Day. Christmas runs for 12 days afterward. Like, are you saying you worship the pagan Yule because you celebrate Christmas?
No, not at all.
Because that's about the same level. If you start going through the backtracing of the, like, the pedantics, you loop back to the Druids in Britain. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the animists in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a certain point where you have to kind of not trace the lineage of goodbye. But I still say God damn it. And I say, you know, bless you, because it is a courteous thing to do that has more or less been washed out of the religion. Yes, Annie?
there are people, I don't know their religion because I did not ask and I was not present, except for once, where I've heard of people actually now getting angry when you say bless you to them. It's only ever happened to me once on the bus because I'm one of those people where I hear a sneeze and automatically, yeah. Bless you is out of my mouth, literally mid-sentence. Like, I don't care. I've literally said it in bathrooms before. It's weird.
That is a lie. I've sneezed twice this podcast.
I try not to on podcasts. It's really hard because I will interrupt people, and I don't like interrupting people either. I try not to. But so it's actually becoming a thing where some people, because they aren't religious, or at least that's the theory that I've heard. That's what I've gotten from those who I've actually been able to, like, read up on or, like, talk to about it, aren't interested in having bless you said to them because yeah. It's religious.
Yeah, and I understand that thought process pretty,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, but also, you know, it's an ingrained thing in most people's
culture.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's... in most Americans, so. Mm-hmm. But I tend to actually use Gesundheit. Mm-hmm. Which just means
well,
good
it's also just the like bringing it up because for so long yeah. It was just like, you know, this is something you say yeah. in English type of thing. But there's lots of words kind of cycle, if that makes yeah. sense. Their meanings change and shift, and occasionally they come back to where they started, and you know.
And I tend to use Gesundheit because it just is literally German for health.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or salud, which is the same idea in Spanish.
And that's where, I mean, the point I was making about the whole Christmas thing is the fact that that is still a Christian holiday in which yeah. many Christians do. And, like, I'm sure you and your family probably put up a tree, probably put a star on that tree, and probably do all the things that same Christians do, but you're still not doing a connection to God or treating it as magic. And just because the Christians stole it, I mean, doesn't mean a thing. Just because Christians probably stole
it. It does. Most of their major holidays.
I mean, the thing is... Yeah, offense. I mean,
but
I'm saying that, like, much like grace, like Christmas is a Christian connection kind of thing.
True,
that's
but
what
I
it's supposed to be. They treat
large,
it in the same way.
I by and large use it as an excuse to see friends. I don't celebrate Saint Nick.
Can I also
Santa Claus?
And I'm also, saying that you can use
yeah,
grace the same way.
I'm just gonna throw this in there. Earlier, Alexander mentioned the fact that if the fam, you know, people that he is with are like, no, like, please, he'll occasionally join with them if they are kind of pressing it. Christmas is, and probably actually Newman can speak to this better than I can, but Christmas is such a pervasive holiday, it's kind of hard to escape, especially when you consider it a holiday about family, if your family is religious in any way. And so, like, with saying grace, let's say about a minute of holding hands, and then there is a, like, that is a common beginner of holding hands and bowing your head, and the common ender of amen is mm-hmm. the ending. With Christmas, there's, like, especially nowadays, there's about a month of Christmas. Quote,
yeah,
unquote.
I'm not telling
so,
Alex.
Yeah,
I'm not.
No,
I'm not
I'm
calling
just,
out Alex. Saying,
I know. I'm
you
just
need
noting.
To escape it, Alex. You said you're a liar. No, I'm saying. I'm saying if you're able to overlook this
mm-hmm.
of Christmas, which is a much bigger deal than probably grace for most people.
It's not. Christmas is a corporate holiday these days. It's
and
also
on
other
the
people talk, Cora Newman, because me and Doc will go at each other for hours.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Stop us.
The point I'm trying to make is that, Alex, you're able to disconnect grace in the same way, or at least you should be able to.
But I'm not, and you don't have the right to tell me that's the way that is.
Okay. So to get off this and on the whole Christmas thing, so my girlfriend and I for the past 2 years have celebrated Christmas. She was born Catholic in the Philippines and raised Catholic, and mm-hmm. I'm Jewish, but we don't really do anything. Like, we do it as a point where, like, I flew up to see her on Christmas morning. We had a really fancy dinner. We got each other gifts, and we went to go see a movie.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, that was, it's actually more my Christmas growing up, like, growing up Jewish, is it was our tradition on Christmas to go see a movie because that's about the only thing you can do on Christmas. It's a very common Jewish thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, yes, it's a Christian holiday, but it's like at this point, or maybe it's just me, but all religion has just been, like, removed from Christmas. I don't look forward to, like, praising Saint Nick. I don't even know who Saint Nick is.
He was referring to like St. Patrick's. Or no, wait, no, not St.
No, Nicholas. St. Nicholas is the original word for Santa Claus. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
But like, it's just like a point where you get each other nice gifts, you have a nice dinner, you hang out with friends and family, and then you go see a movie.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see any religion in that, at least me personally.
Isn't the original way to celebrate St. Nick to sacrifice animals and to get drunk and fight?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds like a... Why, can we bring that back?
Just saying. Like, I mean, I don't see this happening on a regular basis, so... Yeah.
I want to put that, like, something there. Something for me that I find interesting is kind of, and I apologize, someone already brought this up, my computer cut out, but the difference between identifying as Christian and being culturally Christian is something I've heard people talk about before, and something mm-hmm. that I think is really interesting for me, because like I said, growing up mostly a religious, I know there are certain metaphors and worldviews that are default for me, or I have internalized just because the majority culture around me interprets the world that way. And so, like, a Christmas for me is one of those. I like to think that when I participate, I reinterpret or reappropriate it for myself, because, like, someone else brought up earlier, like, generic winter holiday. It's dark. Let's put lights up. So, like, I like to think I can do that, but I also think that something that, you know, might need to enter into the broader, like, atheist agnostic conversation is Christian culture in general, and how you might not be Christian, but you exist in a majority Christian culture. And that's not to say that you should, submit to that necessarily, but just to be aware of it, especially in interactions with others.
Yeah, definitely. So I feel like we've probably gone over our hour.
Oh yeah,
we should probably start wrapping up.
Because like I said, me and Doc will go at each other for hours if we're not. Cut off at the head. All right, Cora, I'll give you time to think again. Doc, who are you? Where they can find you? What do you want them to look for?
Follow me on Twitter at Doc Von Derwin, and then just check out stuff on the site. Go to Podcast Lost in Games. It's a very good podcast that we do and talk about games. And yeah, just stick to podcastlostinspace.com. That's where all my content goes anyway.
Mm-hmm. Newman,
I've ran out of places you can find me. I've given up.
You can find him on the podcast some of the weeks, and we're going to force him to make us another really good article about sports or something here in the soon.
Write about how much Facebook fucking sucks.
Yes, do it!
Do it!
We want do that it. Article, and I'm publicly shaming you into doing it. Seneca.
Hi, you can find me on Instagram because I'm still actually using that goddamn thing. SEAE789. My cat Speckles, awesome little creature that she is, randomly shows up. And maybe, just maybe, in this next week, I'll find a balloon and do the turtle thing for somebody. I don't know. We'll see. Well, we shall see.
Have you ever put a cucumber behind your cat and filmed it?
No, that is psychologically damaging for them. Don't you fucking dare.
Yes, it is. Cora, before that
So let's see, I have some articles up on remesh.com, and you can find me on Twitter at cwalke81, at CWALKE81. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for having me on. This was really cool.
Thank you for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much.
And then, as always, you can find me at RedBreard on Twitter, REDBREARD. If you look that up in just about anywhere else, I'm just about the only person dumb enough to misspell it in that very specific way. And then you tack a 242 on the end, and you probably will find me that way too. All the important things I don't want you to find are under completely different usernames, so it's okay. you can find me on Facebook. My author's page is up there as a public page. Just look up my name. You can find me on Amazon. I have an author's page on Amazon now. There's only two short stories there, but they're there. And then you can find this podcast, just about everything else, at podcastlostinspace.com. if you are listening to this and your iTunes feed works, I love you, and I don't know how. I managed to break the feeds about a week ago. It works for my dad, it works for my mom, it works for a bunch of people, but it doesn't work for me. We talked to support. Theoretically, everything will be fixed. Hi, Internet, it's good to see you.
We missed you.
Hopefully all that will be fixed and cleaned up. You can always send us an email if you want us to talk about something. This came out of a conversation from my writer's group I had with a lady who's like, you guys don't talk about politics or religion, but like that's a huge part of your lives. And I was like, that's a very valid point. Send us an email at podcastlostinspace@gmail.com. I tried to make a shorter email, and turns out you can't have a four-letter email with Gmail. You have to make it longer, and I don't remember what I made it. So just podcastlostinspace@gmail.com. Yeah, thanks for watching. Hopefully we didn't piss off too many people. Or hopefully we did. It's an interesting diet.
Hopefully you enjoyed it.
Yes.
In some way.
Found it interesting.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.